Hey, I'm Nancy Wilson.
Mike Campbell.
Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo.
Hey, it's Adam from Counting Crows, and I am here giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back for season four. I'm Peter Chidi of Deep Cuts Media, and this season we're diving even deeper into some of music history's most iconic tracks with the legends who made them.
What's so beautiful about it is a lot of people connect with, you gotta live your life and don't let the big man push you down. Don't have to live like a refugee, can't keep fighting for what you believe. And that was Tom.
From the spark of inspiration to untold tales from the studio, we unlock the true stories that shape the music you love.
At the time on the radio, there was a really cool riff by Nazareth covering a Joni Mitchell song, This Flight Tonight. It had the same groove, but I think Barracuda kind of blew it out of the water.
Join us as we all sit down with music icons like Devo, Heart, Mike Campbell of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Sublime, Counting Crows, and so many more. New episodes are out now from the Consequence Podcast Network, so tune in wherever you get your podcasts and join me for the story behind the song.
To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahan, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up, and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by SoundMind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Plus, get free premium delivery on any bed with base. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store today.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
The Star Wars universe is constantly expanding.
But how the heck are you going to keep tabs on it without a holocron? And where in the rim can I score the juiciest news and rumors?
Ah, you seek State of the Empire, Consequence of Sound's Star Wars speculation podcast, where we look for news in all the wrong places.
We dig into the Sarlacc pit of the internet for the hottest intel in the galaxy far, far away. Make Indiana Jones inquiries and keep watch for the latest on Willow.
Find us on consequenceofsound.net or wherever you procure fine podcasts. It's the show you're looking for. Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's an audio interview series presented by WFPK Independent Louisville at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Wherever you're listening from today, find that subscribe button, hit it now so you can keep up with us. And if you can leave a rating and a review as well, that'd be great too. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest is Alex Turner of the Arctic Monkeys. They've got a new record out called Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino. And me and Alex go deep into the creation of this, how he came to write it, how was he introducing it to the rest of his band, if he's ever considered a screenplay, and also working with Alexandra Savior, who he produced and co-wrote with before this record came around. It's a deep dive into the new record, Kyle Meredith with Arctic Monkeys.
Hi, Kyle. How you doing?
I'm well, sir. How are you?
I'm all right.
What an interesting, cool new record that the Arctic Monkeys have just put out. Once again, you've surprised everybody with Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino. You know, last time we talked, I invoked your first album title, and I thought you've once again proved yourself. You know, whatever you say I am, that's what I'm not. You've done this again. Well, I mean, was there any sense that you might want? I mean, you could have done the easy road and followed AM, you know, with its own success and further down that. Was that ever considered? Was that ever a thought?
I think if it was a thought like 3.5 years ago, whenever it was that we stopped touring that record. I think there was a moment when we were considering going right back into the studio, and there may have been the potential to sort of follow up AM with something more similar to it had we seized that opportunity then. But as it sort of transpired, we ended up taking a break for a while, and some other things happened in between them, which kind of meant that it had to be the way it is now, you know.
Well, it's such an interesting
record that is.
Yeah, it's such an interesting concept and sound that goes into this. You know, with the concept of this being, as you said, you know, a hotel and casino on the moon, I listen to some songs, for a second, you know, I start to think, oh, you know, this is, you know, he's talking in first person, but then there's always a twist of phrase that, you know, turns it into, you know, possibly something fiction. So I wondered, is there a lead character in this saga? And if so, who is it?
Interested, yeah. Well, I suppose, I mean, I guess the idea even that this is sort of set in a hotel and casino on the moon, which I believe is what you just alluded to, or inferred rather, is kind of perhaps debatable in itself. But I don't know about as far as the whether there's a... I think, you know, just because you perhaps step outside the scope of your own experiences doesn't necessarily mean that it's not in the first person, I don't think. Of course, I think all that the sort of science fiction vernacular on there is kind of, you know, allows you to explore ideas, you know, it becomes a sort of a way to get from A to B,
yeah,
like a way. And I think once I started, I think that came from perhaps watching movies and sort of thinking about the idea of like that science fiction often, you know, it explores ideas about things a lot closer to us than where the movies or the books are set. I think I started off thinking about that idea and then just sort of got carried away. So the next thing we were cutting out cardboard models of sort of moon casinos may or may not look like.
What are there, and you may have sort of answered this in what you were just saying there with the movies and everything, because, you know, having spent time in L.A., I started thinking that there are certain eras of L.A. that isn't far from a casino on the moon. I was just talking with M. Ward a little bit ago today in a different interview, and we were talking about L.A. in the 60s, how they were sort of, you know, all the designs of all the cool places sort of had that Jetsons look, as they were, you know, so obsessed with what the future looks like. And I sort of wondered if you were trying to conjure an era in that sort of way.
Mm, I see what you mean. Yeah, I'm interested in that stuff, Kyle. Yeah, like that idea of the past, idea of the future is, I mean, I think a lot of that architecture is just really exciting still, you know, like that is something that I've got a soft spot for, but I don't know if that's something I'm like conveying through the music necessarily.
Certainly conjures that image. I mean, it seems like with a record like this, with ideas like that, you know, one of the obvious things is, you know, had you ever considered putting this into a sort of type of screenplay?
Not at all, really, 'cause I think it completely relies on the fact that it's a record. You know, I think a lot of this, I tend to think more and more with so much of like the stuff that I write relies on the fact that it's the lyrics, that is, that without there being the sort of melody for it to be, for the words to be kind of poured into. I don't think a lot of it really, it wouldn't work, kind of, I think. And so I think the idea that you could, because I think, you know, what you get when you put it to the melody, in my opinion, is then you evoke this feeling that you're chasing after. Whereas I think it's that can be quite, I don't know if vague is necessarily the right word, but you might not even be able to completely describe what that feeling is, but you just know when you're having it. And I think the idea that you could sort of make a, there's not really like that much of a story going on here. I don't know how we would like sort of get the arc out of it to make it into anything other than exactly what it is.
And you're talking about sort of the songwriting structures. I mean, it sounds like you had the freedom because of this style of writing to brush those traditional structures away. I mean, most of these songs, a lot of these songs don't have what you would consider a typical chorus or even, you know, that usual verse, chorus, verse, and sometimes even rhyming. I mean, did it feel, was there a sense of freedom to get away from the traditional structures? Was that deliberate that you kind of pushed towards that way?
So, yes, in some cases, I think, yeah, definitely. Let's think about this. There were a couple of things you said there. One was the hooks. If there are hooks on this album, it doesn't really, I suppose they don't come in the form of like choruses as they have in the past on some of our songs. I definitely agree with that. But I feel like they're still in there, you know, one way or another. I think about as far as the structures go, I don't know if I'd say in the past we've had more of a desire to explore structures that fall outside the usual one. I would actually say most of this album does kind of go verse chorus, midway, and you know, like more than some stuff we have done in the past. But I suppose maybe it doesn't seem like that because the choruses aren't like necessarily made for the stadium or something. But yeah, and then what was the other thing? Oh, the rhyming thing. I think that just comes from some songwriters that I like and that they have a knack of it. You know, I think, like, I don't know, like Randy Newman or something, like, often does some really great couplets that don't rhyme.
Right.
And I think that's I've become more interested in over time. I think, yeah, I mean, I don't know, so much of that stuff is just like instinctive at this point, I think, like after, yeah, whether to make something rhyme or not, whether it's just, sometimes I think that there'll be more amusement it's just more interesting to I don't know. Maybe I've said too much on that point about the rhyme scheme, but
I get what you're saying. Yeah, I would be curious though. You know, as the story went, you know, you're gifted a piano, and that sort of gets, you know, a lot of the album gets its start and sound from that. When you gave this to the rest of the band, the idea, the demos, or however that was introduced to them, how much of it was a challenge for them to realize the direction you were going to, and to get in that style themselves?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was ever like it was ever too much of a. You know, there was never that a great deal of resistance from them in that. You know, I think that I would say they were excited about it. I think as I was that when and I think that perhaps the way I went about it as well, because at the time, you know, it wasn't as though in the past I may have gone into the rehearsal room and played a song on an acoustic guitar or something, and we would then imagine what that might be like, you know, on a more fleshed out like recording. The way I went about this was, you're right, I, you know, sort of wrote sitting at the piano. I think that idea of, you know, being in that position presented other ideas, and the places my fingers fell on the piano were different to the places that they would have fallen on the guitar, and that you know, led me down to some places that I wouldn't have gone but otherwise. But as well as that, I began to record these demos with a bunch of other instruments as well, like other different types of keyboards and just, you know, stuff that I've accumulated. And so, but by the point, and I was still writing them whilst I was doing this, like through this 8-track machine. So sitting there, like playing back, you know, I don't know, an organ part and a drum part or something, and writing words to these as these recordings were happening, which is like, you know, the piano is definitely something that we can distinguish these songs from the songs I've written before with. But I think the other one, and perhaps the more, you know, the one that really made this thing sort of, I think the thing that's responsible more so for the shift is that, you know, I was had this period of time with this 8-track recorder, like making these, and a lot of, like, so for instance, a lot of the vocals that are on the record now come from that, those recordings that were done like right at the beginning before the, and so I think, why am I talking about this in such depth? The it's because you asked about the band that, yeah, so when they were hearing these songs, it wasn't like it was me sitting there at the piano playing in front. They were like, you know, there's already some echo on it or something, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say, in short.
Well, I love how it came out. It's such an interesting record, and I like watching what you do all the time.
Thank you, Kyle.
And the other stuff, you know, producing Alexander Savior and all that, we're big fans of everything you do, and I'm looking forward to, you know, the continuation of all of that. I think
nice one, man. Yeah. Well, that record, you know, like, that's the record with Alex was the first time, that process I just gave a very long-winded description of was was actually, you know, that was something that when she and I wrote songs together, I was making these demos of them, like with the Vox Continental organ and, you know, doing like a simple drum part. And just, it seemed to, and then we took those tapes from the 8-track and we went down to this studio called Vox in Los Angeles with the producer and like replaced a lot of the bass and drums. And that process had, you know, seemed to work really well on that project, and I kind of stole that idea and brought it to this thing, like, as a result of that, like, you know, like, it was like, well, that seemed to work, because I just remembered it made us, Alex and I, write in a bit of a different way, because we, you know, you could sort of see what it was going to become before it had become it.
Well, I appreciate it, Alex. And again, what you've been doing, I love keeping up with it. And before I go, I want to recommend a movie to you, because I'd never be able to pass this note otherwise. It's called An American Astronaut. And with the idea of this whole thing, that movie kept coming to me. And if you've never seen it, I recommend see. It's hard to find, but try to find it, because...
All right, I'll give it a shot. Yeah, American Astronaut.
Yeah.
All right, that sounds like we can hang with that, Kyle, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Thank you so much. It was great catching up again, man.
Pleasure, my pleasure. Nice speaking to you, Kyle.
All right, take care. Bye.
Rock on. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks, Alex Turner. Of the Arctic Monkeys, the brand new record again is called Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino. It is out now on Domino Records here in the States. Hey, don't forget, you can subscribe over to YouTube to keep up with your favorite artists and interviews. And for you podcast fans, iTunes, Podchaser, wherever you're getting this from, hit the subscribe button there, then leave a review, give a rating as well. Then you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show every Monday through Thursday from noon to 3 Eastern. You'll also find some bonus episodes of this series over there. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.